Major, especially pray for the Wendy's request, Wendy and Rick over in Wisconsin. Lots of floods. Homes are being flooded. Her name, her home has been flooded. Many others, even in Iowa. That's very serious indeed. We especially pray for Jim Canada and his problems and difficulties. Vitus, we pray for Dan Tam and Anna who are away from us. And may they have a safe journey back home late Sunday. I guess they're coming back. Help us with our internet so people can hear us this night. And help us to study thy word, the book of Corinthians. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to call Randy and tell him what they can listen to us on, if you just hold on. Call Randy Howdy Show. Randy, YouTube, it's on YouTube, and also BibleForToday.org. Go down to the brown box and get that. Can you get those two things?
Okay, yes, we did. We finally got it.
Oh, good, excellent. Thank you very much. Yes, hello, Jacob. Go ahead.
No, this is Dale.
Dale.
Yeah,
Dale.
I would like prayer for Jamie. She's having a lung surgery operation. That's my niece.
Oh, yes.
And she's having lung surgery operation in the morning.
In the morning. Okay, Jamie.
For cancer, Jamie. Yes.
Well, thank you. I forgot that. Thank you. I wrote it down and forgot to put it down.
Okay.
Thank you. Jenny, okay, I'll pray for it. Dear Father, do pray for this request. Very serious indeed. And Dale has a heartfelt encouragement and concern for her relative. May the doctors be guided and may the lady be helped as the surgery goes forward. Give her peace, and if she's not a Christian, saved by the blood of Christ, help her to trust in Him as her personal Savior and know salvation. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, I'm glad people found it. And we had a very good 70th anniversary on Monday. There were 62 people came here to us and from different places all over the area. Bill was there, a different one. It was a big place in... What's the name of it?
Morristown,
New Jersey. And what is it?
It's called the Community Center.
The Community Center. And we enjoyed it very much. And so we thank the Lord for the ones that came and testimonies. 61, 62. There were a lot of tables, and they were sitting down. We had meals, and it was very good. Yeah, Pastor Dan and Tammy took care of all the planning and did a very good job. Food was good, said Bill. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Those that can listen to us, give us a call or comment. As I said before on the telephone, Pastor Dan, Tammy, and Anna are not with us. They're in Iowa visiting her parents, Tammy's parents. So give us a call at 856-261-9018. Can't use the email because Pastor Dan's not here to use it, but you can give us a call, 856-261-9018. 9018. All right, let's read 1 Corinthians. We took up chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 2, we had that last week. Let's go back and review it a little bit. Verses 2, 3, and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 2, 3, and 4. Let's read that together. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Just hold on until I get this one. 1 Corinthians 15.
16.
Yes, Cass. Chapter 16. Hello, Cass. What's up?
This is Cass. I just want to tell you I'm listening.
Good. Thank you for calling. We've got to do it.
Tomorrow, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes, 1 Corinthians 16, I repeat, verses 2, 3, and 4. I'll be read to, let's go again because we have that call. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 16, 3. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. All right, in verse number 2, what is the first day of the week?
Well,
Any hands on that? Yes, Bill.
Sunday
is the first day of the week. What do some people call Sunday wrongly? Any hands on that? Yes, Vaughn?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Any hands on that? What is it, Bill?
That's actually the seventh day of the week.
Seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, and it's not a Christian Sabbath on Sunday. Sunday is a separate day. Bill?
And the Sabbath day was ordered to be kept by the Jews only.
By the Jews only in the Old Testament. That's correct. Of the Ten Commandments, is the Sabbath day remembered in the New Testament? Any hands on that? Remember the Sabbath, is that anywhere in the New Testament? Not a single time do you have to keep that. That's right. Yvonne?
The Sabbath day in the Old Testament was God created the earth, the sun, moon, man, all these people. All the six days,
and
he rested on the seventh.
He rested on the seventh. The Old Testament is part of creation, part for the Jews only. And we should not confuse Saturday Sabbath for Sunday, the first day. Now, what happened on the first day of the week in the Scripture? By the way, question, can't say question, but give us a call, comment for all these things. 856-261-9018. That's our call, our answering service, our telephone right here in the pulpit, and help us out with these comments and questions today. Yvonne, what took place in the New Testament on the first day of the week?
Jesus rose from the dead.
He came back to life on the first day of the week.
Sunday morning.
And the Jewish reckoning of time is what? Any hands on that? What is the Jewish reckoning of time?
I don't know what you want.
When does the day start? When does the day end?
It starts at
6. Any hands on that? Yeah, Bill.
It starts at 6, we call p.m., which would have been like Saturday evening, and then progresses through till Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, becomes Monday.
At 6 a.m. is the next day, and it's different from our time, 12 midnight, the next day is that, but they have 6 o'clock, so it's the next day. So what else happened on the first day of the week in the New Testament? Any hands on that? What else took place? What events? Questions, not questions, but were not created, but what did the disciples do? 856-261-9018. You can answer those questions if you can. What took place on the first day of the week, as well as this verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians 16? Vaughn?
Jesus rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead. What else happened? Any other things? Well, what happened to Bill?
A couple of the disciples went to his tomb. They discovered that the rock had been removed.
All right.
And Jesus was not there. There was an angel in the tomb that said that he was not there. He had risen.
He's not here. He had risen. Okay. Let me turn these things on this way to be able to record this as well. All right. So what else? Did the disciples observe the first day of the week at any time? Any hands on that? Did the disciples observe anything? Did they ever meet on the first day of the week? Any hands on that? Yeah, Bill?
All but Thomas.
Well, when did they meet on the first day of the week? Morning or evening? It's in the evening. There are two services, Sunday evening, the first day of the week. And was Thomas there on the first Sunday evening service?
No.
No, he was not. Was he there on the second Sunday evening service? Yes, for the first day of the week, that shows us not only the Lord Jesus rose on the first day, but also the disciples met on the first day. And Thomas, did he believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he believe on that?
Sunday service when Jesus was there.
All right, what Sunday was that? First or second? second Sunday, but at first they believe in the bodily resurrection. No, Thomas is a denier, doubting Thomas, they call him. And what did he say as far as when would he believe? 856-261-9018. Give us a call and answer some of our questions. God to hear from you. There we are. Yes, hello, Dave. David Howell from South Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hey, Pastor Ray. This is David and Rebecca. We're looking at John chapter 20.
All right.
Talking about the resurrection of Christ. It's the first day of the week coming. Mary Magdalene early went. But it also says that the disciples, we don't know how many, it doesn't say how many, it just says the disciples were gathered in the upper room on
yes.
the first day of the week.
Yes, very good. Thank you. Let's wave to David and Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. That's very good indeed. Thank you very much. That's true. So let other people call and answer these questions for us. 856-261-9018. I know we had a little trouble getting on some of the stations, but it's on YouTube. It's also on BibleForToday.org. The brown box there. Click on that. All right. So they hear, they said, what is to happen here in verse number 2? What did Paul request of the Corinthian church, and by I'm sure other churches as well? Any hands on that? What was the request in verse number 2? 1 Corinthians 16:2. Yvonne?
They were supposed to put aside an offering for the Lord, and then they bring it in to the church.
All right. And what was the measure of their offering to be? What was the extent of it? Any hands on that? Well, what, how is it phrased? Okay. Yes, Barbara Leemaster from New Jersey. What'd you say? What's the answer to that question, Barbara?
Hi, Pastor Wade. Hi, everybody. I didn't catch the question. I thought Mrs. Wade had answered it. Everyone was to lay aside as God has prospered him. Apparently, it was a recurring theme because in 2 Corinthians he said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Yes, very good. Thank you for that. Let's wave to Barbara Leemaster here in New Jersey. Even though she doesn't have video, she can hear our wave. How about that? So that's very good.
As good to see you recently, Barbara.
Yes, good to see you recently. And now, as God hath prospered him, now, does God prosper everyone the same? Any hands on that?
No,
there's different prosperity. So as God has prospered, so give. Now, is there ever a command in the New Testament to tithe as there was in the Old Testament? Any hands on that? Now, Bill.
No.
No. What does tithe mean?
It means to give 10%.
10%. But as God has prospered, was it?
It's a good beginning.
It's a good beginning, but there's no command on that. And so a lot of churches, they try to emphasize in the New Testament, tithe. They don't know. As God has prospered. Now, remember I told you about Letourneau, had a huge, huge company. He was a multimillionaire. And how many percent did he give to the churches? Any hands on that, if you remember? Bill?
I think that was 90%.
90% as God prospered him, and 10% he kept to himself. He could live on that because he was a multimillionaire. Yeah, Bill?
There's a lot of preachers on television that are telling people that they need to send in huge amounts of money, like Mike Murdoch. He's one of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He wants people to send in hundreds or even thousands of dollars, depending on which time you're hearing him. And he's promising that the Lord will prosper these people for giving these huge amounts of money. The Lord reads what's in their heart. If they're giving to the Lord honestly, the Lord will bless them. But much of what he's asking for, it goes to a ministry that has new service.
Yes, Joe Fascio. Go ahead, Joe.
Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Pastor Wade, I just wanted to say hi to everyone.
Well,
keep me in prayer.
Now, tell them a little bit more specifically. I mentioned something, but so we can all pray for you this time, Joe. Go right ahead. Tell them how the accident happened and so on, if you can.
Yes, about a few weeks ago, I had a big giant cart fell on my leg and fractured my lower leg and ankle. And this Monday, I'm going to have my appointment coming up to see if the swelling's gone down for surgery. That's the thing that's holding surgery back, is it being too swollen. And as soon as the swelling goes down, they'll be setting my surgery date. Just a lot of pain right now. I can't have any pressure on it. I'm using a wheelchair and a walker to get around, hopping on one foot. So I'm just waiting for the swelling to go down or my next surgery. I've had one surgery already. They repaired some ligaments and some other nerves, and they sewed it back up because it was an open fracture. So now I'm just waiting for my swelling to go down.
And tell us how the accident happened. You mentioned earlier, so just refresh our memories on that.
Yeah, we usually transfer our load from truck to truck, and it's a big cart that holds a lot of juice, like bottles and cases of juice that I sell. I run my own route, selling juices and teas and other products, and we transfer them from one truck to another, and during the transfer process, one of the big carts that weighs over 1,000 pounds tipped over and crushed my lower leg. And I was trapped for a few seconds. It probably was minutes, but time went by so quick. I was able to get the cart up and get my leg out of there. It already had crushed and cut open my flesh and went all the way down to the bone.
Very serious. We'll certainly continue to pray, and we ask all the people listening to pray for you too. Joe Fascio from, is it California, Joe?
Yes.
California. And your friend that was transferring the cart, he got hurt also, right?
Yeah, he broke his ankle, dislocated it, and he's having surgery. He was supposed to have surgery today or tomorrow on his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as bad, but it still required surgery. He's going to be off of his leg for about 4 weeks after his surgery. We're just thankful that the doctor said it narrowly missed major arteries and a major nerve deeper. If it would have gone further down, it would have severed the artery and some other major nerves. And, we're thankful it didn't fall on our heads or to our bodies, or me losing my leg, because that was a possibility.
Well, thank you for that report, Joe. I appreciate that. Lord bless you. We'll continue praying.
Thanks.
Okay, that's Joe Foster's report, and continue to pray for him. His recovery, very serious indeed. Pardon me? Let's wave to Joe. Yeah, wave to Joe. Absolutely. Wave to Joe Foster in California. Appreciate that. And so, the 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, first day of the week, that's on the Lord's Day, Sunday, that every one of you, now, some to all genuine Christians, give to the Lord's work. Any hands on that? To all genuine Christians, give to the Lord's ministry. Nobody can answer that. Any hands? Does every genuine Christian give to the Lord's ministry? And Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
They're supposed to.
Supposed to. Okay, so supposed to. Okay. Yes, Carl and Vicki, what's the answer to that? Give us a call. Glad to hear from you. Vicki.
Pastor, I did hear the question, because as I was calling, I had to mute my sound, so I didn't hear it.
In other words, does everybody...
I was calling to say hello, and glad that your celebration, your 70th wedding anniversary, went wonderful, and we're so happy.
Very good. And the question we had was, does every born-again saved Christian necessarily give to the Lord's ministry? And we answered that before we got on the phone. And they said, no, they don't.
No, yeah. That's true.
Certainly it's God's possible. Well, thank you very much, Vicki and Albert and
okay,
Carl.
Pastor, hello to everyone, and God bless you all.
Yes, let's wave to Carl Vicki. Amen. Thank you for all that you gave us. Amen. Very good presence they gave to us. And Carl Vicki Albert, from State of Maine. State of Maine. And so as God prospered you, no gatherings till I come. Why do you think Paul said don't have any gatherings? What do you think he means by gatherings? Questions, not questions, but 856-261-9011. Give us a call and answer that. Any hands on that? What does it mean, no gatherings? When I told before I come. When I come. What is a gathering, Bob?
He doesn't want them all coming together and gathering and giving money.
Do you think that's what gatherings means, Bill?
Well, they
want to gather. All right.
There'll be no gathering when I come.
Could that be something else? Okay, so the gatherings could be gatherings of people, could be gatherings of money and collections, couldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, then in verse number 3, Paul says, when I come, where is he going to come? 856-261-9018. Where is Paul going to come, Yvonne?
Is it to the church of the Galatians? I don't know.
What up, Bill? You have an answer on that? Where is Paul going to come? Well, 856-261. All right. In collection for the church, as I give in order of the Church of Galatia, make a collection. But where is he going to come, do you think?
Jerusalem.
Before he gets to Jerusalem, where is he going to come?
We don't know.
Well, probably to Corinth. He's probably going to come to the church at Corinth and take the money that they laid aside as God has prospered him. See, so in Corinth, he's going to tear. Well, he's going to be at Corinth. That's the city there. Now, Corinth, show you on the map if Bill can get it up there. Corinth is right over here. Corinth down here is yellow on the map. You see that, Bill?
Yep.
Come right up close. You see, that's Corinth. And we're going to see a little bit later, Macedonia. He's going to pass through Macedonia up in here in the green. But Corinth is right here. And the Aegean Sea is back here and so on. So, all these things are true. Yes. Yes, Rob. Rob, right here. I'm running guy from Chicago. Glad you were there at the anniversary meeting. Great to see you.
Oh, it was great to see you, and it was great to see a lot of people there.
Yes.
It was a great time. It's also great to see my Army buddy who I hadn't talked to or who I hadn't seen in 40 years.
Yes.
1978.
And his name is what again?
Dennis Carney.
Dennis Carney. Remember him in prayer. Hope he comes back, right?
Amen, Pastor. I hope he does. The Apostle Paul said a couple times in the verses before, which is part of this letter, of course,
right,
he said in 1 Corinthians 4, I will come to you shortly, and in verse 11, or chapter 11, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So I don't know when he was coming, but they knew he was coming to Corinth.
Yes, so verse 3 was when I come. It's talking about coming to Corinth, doesn't it? That's right.
Amen.
Okay, well, let's wave to Rob Winograd in Chicago. Wave to him. Thank you, Rob, very much for that answer and a comment to us. Praise the Lord. Now, also, when he comes, what's he going to do when he comes to Corinth in verse number 3? What does he say he's going to come? What does he suggest that they do when he comes? Yvonne? But what does it say before that? What does it mean, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters? What is that all about? 856-261-9018. What is that about? I approve by the letters. What are they supposed to do in verse number 3? Any hands on that? Anybody calls on the telephone yet? Bob?
Was it like when he tried to get the money from the church? find a church, you get a letter from the past church you belong to and say you're okay in fellowship.
Well, that's possible, but in verse 3, what does it specifically say he wants them to do? 856-261-9018. What does he say there? Anybody want to call and give us the answer? Okay, now whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters. In other words, they've got to be approved before they take this money and give it to the saints in Jerusalem. They don't want any thieves. They want just special people that are honest. Are all people honest in our nation? Any hands on that?
No.
Yeah, Bill?
No,
they're not honest. Very dishonest. I remember when we were in the Emmanuel Baptist Church of Newton, Massachusetts. That was the first church that I went, became the pastor of. And we had a treasurer there. When the collections were made, before depositing the money in the bank, he would take some of that money himself. He was a thief. I don't remember. Maybe he was. But anyway, whomsoever he approved by the Lord, they must be honest men. What is going to happen to those that they approve by their letters? What's going to happen? Any hands on that? 856-261-9018. Who is he going to be approved? I realize you're 30 seconds or so behind us, so it's on the internet. But in verse number 3, what's going to happen? Any hands on that here? What's going to happen to these that are approved? What's he going to do with them? These people that he approves of about this collection again. In verse 3, the last part of verse 3, what does it say? Any hands on that? Yeah, Bill.
I just wanted to take that money to Jerusalem.
All right. Them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now, what does it mean that your liberality? Any hands on that? What does it mean, your liberality? Bill? Bill?
Yeah, Mrs. Wade just said it, generosity.
But what else? What's it specifically mean by their liberality? Any hands on that, Bob?
I thought I was talking
too much. No, Bill? Yes, Randy and Anne-Marie, go right ahead. What does he mean by liberality?
Yeah, that would be the offering, Pastor Wade, right?
That's right, absolutely. And
these letters are letters to certify that these people are worthy to carry the gift and the offering for their assistance, right?
Yes, that's very good. That's very good. So we're going to take it there, whom I approve. Where's he going to take it, Randy? Where are you going to take this offering? In verse 3.
To
Jerusalem. Very good. Well, let's wave to Henry and Randy there, way over there in the Canada. Absolutely Canada. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And we're very glad that you're able to call and contact us. So to take this liberality, the gift that they gave. Yes, Bill.
This is an important passage to understand because a lot of people who are following, particularly these TV preachers,
mm-hmm.
and I keep referring to Mike Murdoch and Todd Kuntz,
mm-hmm.
Especially because they're not representing a church. They're getting people to send them money, and that money is being sent to the TV station that they broadcast from.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from their organization. It is not being used for the benefit of any particular church. This is money that's going to them, and they're lining their pockets with it. And,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, they don't suspect, they don't question these things. And I think that's awful.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to judge them when their time comes.
And that's why it's so important in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 16:3, the Paul says, when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve, that's approved people, and they will bring this money, this liberality, unto Jerusalem. And we read, let's see, 2-3, I guess we read verse 4 to 2, did we not? What does he say in verse 4? What does Paul say in verse 4? 856-261-9018. To be 30 seconds delayed, but any hands on that in the church tonight? What's he going to do? What does he say in verse 4? It might also happen. What? All right. If it be meat, what is what? If it be meat, what does that mean?
That's work, I
think. Well, meat means if it be fitting, it be fitting or befitting. What would he think might be fitting? What does he add in verse 3, or verse 4 rather, that might happen with this money? Yeah, Bill?
That they could travel with Paul.
All right. That I go also, they will also be with me. So there'd be the... What is it? Yes. Yes, Barbara, the master from New Jersey. Go right ahead.
Just to let you know, we lost you on BibleForToday.org. We're listening to you through YouTube now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I wonder why I got lost. Okay.
But to answer your question, Paul was going to Jerusalem, and the people that the elders of Corinth would choose, if it works out, they'll all travel to Jerusalem together.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Barbara, just wave again to Barbara, who can't see the wave, but... We wave anyway, Barbara. Doesn't have a video, but she has an audio, which is good. So, Paul, if possible, he said, I'd like to go with those you approve to Jerusalem to take this money to the saints, the believers, the Jesus, the ones that are genuine Christians, to help them through the thing. All right, now let's read verse number 5, 6, and 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Now, I will come unto you, when I shall pass, what was that?
Verse 5?
No, verse 5, 15, 5, or chapter 15. 16, 16, 5, thank you, 16, 5. Let's read that together, 5, 6, and 7. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. All right, didn't have anyone else reading, but at least I could read myself. But now in verse number 5, what does he say that is going to, what is his journey, where is his journey going to take him? From where he is, probably in the area of Galatia, which is probably in this area right over here, Bill, if you get up there, that general area there, and when he passes, he may be somewhere up here, but at Corinth, he wants to come first to Corinth, and where is Macedonia? That's right up in here, this green one. So he's going to come to them, maybe in the ship, maybe some way, passing by land. He's going to come into Corinth. And Corinth is this green thing right down here in Corinth. So pass through Macedonia. Pardon me?
Yellow?
No, yellow is Corinth. Macedonia is green, up here, green.
Okay.
So, but he's going to go pass through Macedonia, and then if he does pass through Macedonia, that's what he's going to do. And then what in verse 6 does he say about his visit to Corinth? Any hands on that? What did he say in verse 6 on his visit? What does he want to do when he comes to Corinth?
He wants to stay for the winter.
All right. He said, and maybe that I will abide and winter with you. That's right, stay for the winter. And why does he want to stay there? What's the last part of verse 6 mean? Hands on the 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. We're in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 6. What does Paul want them to do as a church, if possible? Any hands on that? What does Paul want the church at Corinth to do when he comes to visit them? And if he goes with them to Jerusalem?
He wants them to bring money.
Bill?
He wants to bring them to bring him on his journey.
What do you think that means? That ye may bring me on my journey.
Barbara.
What do you think that means? Yes, Barbara Lemastrick. Right here, Barbara.
Hi. He wants to winter with them.
All right. And then what else?
And then when he's done, then they can send him on his way after he wintered with them.
Very good. Thank you. That's very good. Let's see. Here's another. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, hi, Pastor Reed. This is Rebecca and David Hall from South Carolina.
Yes.
And just a comment about verse 6, that at the end of it, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. And so just basically saying that Paul is asking them or telling them that he needs help. So that to bring me on my journey or help me on my journey, wherever the Lord should take him.
That's good. So, and that means providing him for food and lodging. He needs some funds. And he hopes that the church at Corinth will be able to help him on his journey. That's right. Well, thank you, Rebecca from South Carolina.
Absolutely. Yep.
Thank you very much. Lord bless you. Let's wave to Rebecca and David Howell, South Carolina. South Carolina. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Paul was desperate at this point.
Whether he was desperate or not, he was, well, possibly. He was trusting the Lord. He didn't have a lot of funds. But the Lord supplied his need. Was Paul, did he have a constant special gift from various churches necessarily as he, no. What did he do for a living? Any hands on that? What did Paul do for a living? Vaughn?
He made tents.
He made tents?
Wherever he went.
Now some churches did give to him, but he wasn't like today. Churches support their ministers, their missionaries, their pastors. But there, he said, no, not me. 1 Corinthians 9 makes very clear that's what churches should do, support those that are preaching to them and also missionaries on their journey. But here, he hopes that others can help him on his journey, give him funds and so on. Well, thank you for these answers. That's very good. Verse 6. Let's see, we read 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, and 7. Verse number 7, by the way, when he says, my journey, whithersoever I go, what is involved in that? And he hands on that, 856-261-9018. Help me whithersoever I go. And he hands on that in our congregation. Does he know exactly all where he's going to go, Vaughn? Not sure. Waiting for the Lord to lead. Now, how many journeys or missionary journeys did Paul make in the New Testament? Any hands on that?
I think two.
Only two?
Maybe three, then.
There's three. The first, the second, and the third missionary journey. What other large journey did Paul make when he wasn't free? Any hands on that? What other journey did he make when he's not free? Where did he go on that fourth journey on a boat?
The one where they all got wrapped up.
That's right. What was that? Where was he heading there?
I can't remember.
Bill, do you remember where he was heading there on that fourth journey? He was heading to Rome. 856-261-9018. Give us a call and some comments on some of these questions. Paul was heading for Rome. Why was he heading to Rome? And under what circumstances was he heading to Rome on that fourth journey through the Mediterranean Sea? Huh?
Was that a Roman imprisonment?
It's Roman imprisonment. He was a captive. He was been enslaved by Rome. Now, Bill.
That's the trip that he was going to lose his head.
They're going to fence the first Roman imprisonment. Now, he went to the second Roman imprisonment, and there's where he lost his head. But the first one, he got out, apparently. But he was on the ship. Wherever the Lord sent him, and what did they want to do to him? What did the Jews want to do with him before? He wanted to kill him. They said, we'll not do what until we kill Paul. What was this? They will not what? Not sleep. They will not have no more food until we've killed Paul. Well, the questions I said we've been asking at our seminary, and one of the questions, when did these Jews have their next meal? They vowed they wouldn't eat, because they would never eat. That was a promise they couldn't fulfill. 856-261-9018. Give us a call and comment on any of these matters or questions, or just say hello. Glad to hear from you. Glad for those that did call so far. Keep a calling. And so in verse number 7, he said, on my journey, whithersoever I go. In verse 7, what does it say?
We don't know.
I will not see you now. What does he mean by that? Who's the see you? Who's he talking to here? I will not see you. And he hands on that. I will not see you now. Who's he writing to?
Well,
who's this letter addressed to?
Vivian? It says, I will not see you now, by the way. Now, does this mean, oh, by the way, I didn't get there? Or does it mean, by the way, I'm not
going to see? Yeah, but who's he not going to see? Who's he not going to see? Yes, Barbara. What's the answer to that one?
Jerusalem for Pentecost.
That's right, but who's he not going to see, Barbara? Who's he not going to see? I will not see you now. Who's that going
to
be?
The people he's writing to. I'm sorry?
Who's he not going to see there in verse number 7? I'll come to you.
Seven. Okay. I will not see you now, by the way. He's not going to Corinth right now.
Not going to Corinth. That's right. Thank you, Barbara. I'll wave to Barbara again. So who you can't see? That's very good. Now, he's not going to get Corinth. He's not coming to Corinth now. But he will come as soon as he can. So he won't see them now, by the way. But what does he say in verse 7 he's going to do? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. He hands on that. What's he say he's going to do? Those that are listening, 856-261-9018. What did you say, Bob? Okay, I trust to tarry a while with you. What does tarry mean?
Stay.
Stay, that's right. Stay a while. Tarry with you. But what is his statement after that to indicate his intention and God's will? What does he say after that in verse number 7? Any hands on that?
I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permits.
What does that mean, if the Lord permit?
He's going to stay in Ephesus anyhow before he
gets there. No, he's not in Ephesus. Where's he going
to
go? No, but he's going to, if I'm going to be with you, who's the you that he's going to be with?
Corinthians.
He trusts to tarry. That means to stay a while, but what else does he say that's very important for anybody on any journey doing anything? Any hands on that? 856-261-9018. What does that mean? What's the next part of that? What does it mean? Verse number 7. Any hands on that? What's the standard as to whether he stays, and if he even comes to see them at Corinth? And if so, what does it mean? Yeah, Bill?
If the Lord permit.
All right, what does that mean, Bill, if the Lord permit?
Well, if the Lord will allow him to stay there, that means he's got to have the funds to be able to move on as well.
That's right. If Randy and Anne-Marie go right ahead, what does that mean, if the Lord will?
Yeah,
Anne-Marie, there she is.
Yes, if the Lord permit, it's going to be according to the Lord's will, and he's not going to be telling God what to do, and he'll go as the Lord wills and directs him.
Is that important in our lives, even for every believer and Christians today?
Amen. As the Lord permits, as the Lord wills.
That's very, very important. Thank you, Anne Rest, Ray, Randy, and Randy in Canada. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, Pastor Wade. If the Lord permit,
comments, if the Lord wills, and the cross reference for that scripture is James 4:15, which says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So Paul's basically saying that he trusts or hopes, wants to tarry with the church at Corinth, but the Lord would have to work that out, and that would have to be in the Lord's will in order for him to do that. But the way that he's going is in verse 8, that he's going to be staying for a while at Ephesus until Pentecost, and that's the way that he's taking at the current time.
That's good, and where do you find, Rebecca, where do you find the Lord's will?
Where do you find the Lord's will?
Yes.
In His Word?
In His Word, that's right. We've got to read God's Word to find the will of the Lord, not all the details necessarily, but the basic structure for the Christian in His Word. Thank you very much,
Amen.
Rebecca. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's wave again to Rebecca and Dave Hollywood, South Carolina. Appreciate that very much. Rebecca, Howell, it's Howell. All right, so Paul was into the will of the Lord. It's very important to be in the will of the Lord. We're going to stop right here at this verse and verse number 7. But we're glad for those that were here. We're sorry they had a little trouble getting some of the stations. It was on YouTube, and then it was also on BibleForToday.org, that brown box down there. But apparently it went off for some reason. Sorry about that. But thank you for joining us, and we'll try to do better on this Lord's Day. Maybe we can get Bill, maybe Pastor Dan can call us and tell us how to get these other two stations on. He wriggles around every time, gets it ready. We'll have to figure it out for Sunday. Pardon me? Yes, Barbara, the master.
Hi. If the Lord tarry, if the Lord permits, James says the same thing. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that.
Yes, very good. That's very important, isn't it? The Lord's will in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate that. All right. Let's take up this Lord willing next Thursday. Right here, verse 7. We'll continue verse 7. Okay. Julie Monahan, we saw her last. And what do you have to say, Julie? Go ahead, talk from Erie, Pennsylvania.
I wanted to let you know I enjoyed the Bible study this evening.
Very good.
I'm glad to get to see everyone while I was there.
Praise the Lord.
I wish I was with you right now.
Amen. We wish you were here too, Julie. Now, what station are you able to get us on tonight?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
What channel were you able to reach us on?
Oh, YouTube. It came through perfectly fine.
On YouTube. That's wonderful. Thank you. Let's wave to Julie Monahan over there in Erie, Pennsylvania. She's here for the last time for our wedding rehearsal. Rather celebration. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Julie. Keep listening. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for these words from Paul in 1 Corinthians. Help us, Lord, to follow Thy will, if the Lord permits, always listening for Thy guidance from Thy words. Help us to read, to study, and follow what we know to be His will for our lives. We thank you that Paul understood that he was to take the money very seriously, and only those that were approved were to deal with it and carry it over to the saints and Christians at Jerusalem. Help us and guide us. Give us the rest of our night and evening. Bring us back on the Lord's Day, preaching Thy word. And we pray for Pastor Dan and Tammy and Anna. We'll miss them also on Sunday. We pray that people will be faithful, coming and listening to us and entering into our discussion as well by the telephone as well. Guide us and direct us. We thank Thee for our Savior and for Thy words in Jesus' name and for His sake. And for all those that listen, all those that said hello, enter into our conversation, discussion tonight from afar, in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for calling.